Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
And we're excited because this is our last show of 2017.
Yes, it's been just a whirlwind year. I mean,
insane. When
we think about like planning for 2017 last year and writing down some of our very little goals that we just thought would be amazing. I mean, it's just incredible for Laura and I to look back and see what the Lord has done to just spread his word and his gospel and his kingdom through this ministry. And he's just completely blown any little ideas we had out of the water without us really feeling like we did anything. So God is just so, so good.
Yeah. I mean, all glory to him for sure. I think Emily was alluding to this, but I won't name what our goals were, but they were very small.
But we thought they were huge.
We thought they were huge at the time. Good point. And it's been exciting because this year we hit 1 million downloads, which was a huge milestone. We also have over 1,000 ratings on iTunes, all thanks to you guys. I mean, literally, as we say, this is totally God working and moving to spread the gospel through this podcast. But also, you guys have just done the hard work of sharing this podcast with your friends. That is our highest honor. I mean, we are so humbled to even think that you guys would share this with your girlfriends, because that is just the greatest endorsement you could ever give us. And then to leave a review on iTunes. As you guys know, iTunes does these weird algorithms that are a combination of downloads and reviews and ratings and all sorts of other wizardry. I'm not really sure. But we are thankful that women are finding us because of the reviews that you're leaving, because of the iTunes rankings. And so thank you for doing that. We just want to, we wanted to just say a big thank you on this show.
Thank you. And even for sharing with us how God is using it.
Yes.
I mean, I think the numbers are cool and they're definitely interesting and they're evidence of the way God's using it. But even more than that is when we get emails or messages from you guys sharing the specific way that God has impacted your motherhood as you've meditated on what you have in Christ. And even messages from women all over the world. I mean, we've gotten notes from women who are missionaries in other countries where they have not a lot of other fellowship with other believers. And they're saying, I'm getting to hear, you know, the way that the gospel applies to my motherhood in this area where I don't have a lot of other people to connect with. And then there's, we've heard from women in Australia and India, Canada, Mexico, Switzerland, the UK. I mean, just all over the world. And that is just a joy to us to be reaching the nations with the gospel. From our living room or wherever we record.
Yeah. Like, we continue to feel like we need to tell you, and we probably don't, you know this, but we are a couple of sinful women. We are unqualified. We do not have seminary degrees. We do not have broadcasting degrees. We've never learned anything about podcasting or professionalism in this area. And we are just so thankful for God intervening in our imperfections and just being strong where we are weak. And so we want to thank you guys for sticking with us. If some of you guys have probably been around for 2 years now, some of you guys have only just recently joined us, but we are thankful for each and every one of you. And so we want to do a quick recap of our theme from this year. If you guys will remember way back to January 2017, we talked about our theme being biblical literacy.
Yeah, and literacy is just a big word for being competent in an area of knowledge. And specifically, our goal and desire was to talk all about how we become competent in the scriptures and God's word. Just knowing that if we are connecting with God, we're reading what he has to say to us, that word is living and active. And we know that that has the power to help us know what to do in these daily situations, to enjoy God more, which we know when we are enjoying him and when we are in authentic relationship with God, that is just going to overflow to our families, to all the people that we interact with. with. And so that was something Laura and I were like, okay, if we can get excited about biblical literacy and we can get you guys excited about it, like God is going to do the work through his word. So we tried to really weave that into every show in a little way throughout the whole year.
Yeah, we covered things like why the Old Testament should matter to moms, how to develop discernment when engaging with various resources, how to encourage your husband in spiritual growth and his own biblical literacy, things like, you know, what does it look like to accept our limitations? What's it look like to have our identity in Christ? What is the importance of sharing the Bible with our children? Mm-hmm. We talked about that in like every different way, it feels like. So we definitely covered it in a whole range of shows. And if you haven't tuned into all of those shows, definitely just go back into our archives. Mm-hmm. They're pretty easy to search on our website. And there is just so much great wisdom and truth, especially from our interviewees. Oh, that, yeah. That's what I mean when I say wisdom and truth. From our interviewees. Woo! That they just brought it. Uh-huh. And so we definitely encourage you to go back into look at those or listen to those.
So Laura and I thought we would just go over some of kind of our favorite things that we took away when we think about over the year, what did we learn about biblical literacy? And the first thing that was this reoccurring theme over and over and over again was just learning that quiet times don't have to be quiet. In fact, we should probably just stop thinking about it like that.
Boycott the quiet time. Yeah. The word quiet time.
The word quiet time, not the concept of that. And just the idea that of course, like, we want to get alone with God. We want to have just kind of a secret, quiet relationship with him in certain times and ways. But if we are always waiting for that, and we're always waiting for the hot coffee and the sunrise and the blanket, then we just won't ever read our Bibles and meet with God. Because if you have young children at home, most of our listeners do, you know that if they hear you wake up, they wake up. And it's just really hard to sneak away. So do that, yes, but also just read your Bible whenever you can, as much as you can.
That's right. I always appreciated Jen Wilkin just talked about just read a book of the Bible over and over and over again. Read it for comprehension. And it's just such a basic thing where you don't have to think a lot. You don't have to have notebooks or pens. Just have your Bible on your phone or a physical Bible. It's easy. So a quick tip there. And I think along with that, something that we talked a lot about this year and was actually challenging for Emily and I, especially after we had our baby girls, we were just recently talking, having a Voxer conversation about this, of really trusting God with our to-do list and not saying, okay, I'm going to get these things done because I have a few minutes of quiet. And then later today, I'll read my Bible then. And how we want to be giving God the best of our day. We want to give him the first fruits of our time and of our efforts and trust him that if we do the work of getting in God's word, of reorienting our day around him, first of all, it's going to bless us. We are going to be changed. We are going to have a better focus on what our identity is in Christ. Our family is going to be blessed for it. Oftentimes, I'll skip reading the Bible and then I'll be grumpier, crabbier, angrier all throughout the day. And so if I get in God's word and reorient my heart towards him first thing in the morning, my whole family benefits that entire day. And we can trust God that he will either help you to get things done that you need to get done, or he's going to basically show you, nope, that didn't need to get done.
That wasn't that important, or I'll provide for it another way. Yeah, it's just, it is true. It's important that if we really say that God and our relationship with him is the most important thing, then at some level, our time and our resources have to show that. And I'm saying that as like, I'm literally saying that back to myself.
We're preaching to ourselves here, ladies.
Am I giving him the first fruits of my time? I especially feel that little prick in the morning when you get on your phone and you're laying in bed and you're like, in the time I looked at Instagram, I could have spent 10 minutes on the word of God. Yep. So another thing that we kind of drew out this year was just needing women to come alongside us so that we can all study the Bible together, that learning about God's word is not something we do in isolation. We certainly read it on our own, but then we should also get together with groups of women so that they can refine us and help us think about things more clearly and bring up points that we didn't think of and correct our ideas when we're just thinking something really wonky about scripture, with all different generations and cultural backgrounds.
That's right. Another one we talked about was creating a gospel culture in our home. Mm-hmm. And so just recognizing that our children are watching what we're doing. And mm-hmm. they, when they see an authentic love for God's word displayed in front of them, that is a perfect opportunity for everyday discipleship, which is also another argument mm-hmm. for not feeling like I have to squeeze my quiet time into these 2 seconds that I have of quiet, but instead welcoming your child alongside you, letting them know that, hey, mama's reading God's word right mm-hmm. now. Do you want to sit down with your Bible and your pens and for you to have a quiet time too? Of course, it's very different than what you're doing, but you are teaching them what a rhythm of someone who loves God mm-hmm. looks like in their daily life. And so this is where we want to bring our kids alongside us in our faith and not separate the two lives, mm-hmm. our sacred from our secular. I've been mm-hmm. using that quote a lot lately.
But it's good. It's evident of something. And even just, I think, in the She Reads Truth interview, I was really reminded of like, yeah, like it is good to just bring it into our family. Like mm-hmm. I want them to think reading the Bible, like throughout the day, listening to it, hearing mom pray through it, whatever, that's normal.
Yeah, and want to make it normal.
It's not normal to go a whole day without opening your Bible, or a whole week. I mean, days happen without doing that. But hopefully, yeah, you're not going, you know, days at a time.
Right. So another piece is that it takes practice to mm-hmm. grow in biblical literacy. And oftentimes it can feel sort of like that duty into delight piece. So we need to take time to learn how to mm-hmm. study God's word. We have an entire tutorial up on our website. It's called, we actually changed the name. This is a good moment to tell you all, to the Abide Method, mimicking that idea of we want to abide in Christ and be in him. And so as we get in God's word, it's basically the inductive study method. Mm-hmm. is what it is. But we've added sort of our own risen motherhood take on it and some of the things that Emily and I personally add to our study. And so if you're looking to grow deeper in just how to study God's word for yourself, that would be a great place mm-hmm. to start, or to gather a group of women, as we were talking about, a local body of women, to use the Abide Method and to study God's word, because we have to learn how to study his word to really be able to engage in it and understand who God is and how that changes who we are.
Mm-hmm. And we have a ton of resources on our website for that again. So check those out. And then finally, we talked a lot this year about not, you know, walking in guilt and shame over the fact that maybe we haven't been in the word of God. I know this is something that Laura and I have both experienced, but I feel like I'm walking through in this postpartum season is just feeling bad that I'm not in it as much as I want to be. And I think the temptation is to just stay there and to let that distance feel like it's growing, growing, growing. Like I feel like I'm getting colder and colder versus just running back to the Lord. Knowing that my salvation is through faith alone, by grace alone, just gives me confidence to know it's not about how many minutes I've racked up reading scripture. That is not why God has loved and accepted me. It's through Christ's righteousness. And so we have complete freedom to keep going back over and over again. I feel like there was a quote in one of our episodes about maybe it was about family devotions. Mm-hmm. Like we want to just keep restarting them, like almost be just so stubborn
yes.
in our starting over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like don't give up going back to reading your Bible, even yep. if it's been like 6 months.
That's right.
Pick it back up.
Yep. Yep. Do it today. Okay. So really quick, we don't have a ton of time, mm-hmm. but we want to talk a little bit about our favorite episode or one piece that stuck out with you, because it's impossible to pick a favorite, impossible all of the truths yes. that we learned from interviewees. But Emily, do you want to kick us off with
okay.
just your one little nugget?
One nugget. Oh, there's so many big nuggets. So I really liked Ruth's interview that she did with us. Okay. So that was in September,
yes.
I believe that came out. And I just remember being really impacted by what she said about setting expectations mm-hmm. for kids. So I think one thing we've struggled with throughout the year is we've added another baby to the family. I have a kiddo in school now who wasn't in school before. I'm doing more risen motherhood stuff than ever. It's just this feeling like I don't know how to manage expectations. If I'm going to sit down and write on the computer for a little while, I'm going to do something else. So I really liked how she said making different times of the day, being clear with children about what it is we expect for them, and then being really present when we are present and engaging them and being intentional about that. I think that's something I'm still stewing mm-hmm. on, but I really liked that.
It's interesting because I didn't realize that ours are actually really, really close, our favorite things, because mine was from Sally Clarkson, which was an October interview, but she said this one little nugget. She just zinged it at the end.
It's always those little sentences, right? Like the one-liner. dinner and you're like, ah, that just changed my whole world.
Exactly. It wasn't even the point of the interview, but she said, cultivate a sustainable life. And like Emily, I've had a lot of changes this year in my life. And I remember just being hit to the core by that of thinking my life is not sustainable. Mm. And I feel like I just keep telling myself, I just get to the next week, get to the next week, the next month, whatever it may be, pass mm-hmm. that milestone, and then I'll be sustainable. And really, as Emily was sort of saying, like, I want to be intentional with my life, and I want to be able to say, this is my time with my children, or this is my time to do work. And I was just, I mean, if you could just imagine me as Stretch Armstrong, you know, my everything going everywhere. And so that is a challenge mm-hmm. for me, that I'm still trying to make tweaks and changes to my schedule of how can I have a sustainable life long term so that I can invest mm-hmm. well in my family and keep the right priority and order of things in my heart.
Yeah. Oh, one more tidbit. I was just thinking about Ruth's comment about doing nothing. I'm like, yeah, I just got to slow down. And Ruth was totally like, no, you got to do nothing. You got to plan for nothing. And I think both Laura and I are trying to figure out how to just plan for nothing and enjoy that feeding with the baby or whatever yeah. it is, and stop trying to do 10 things at one time. Mm-hmm.
So because the theme of biblical literacy yeah. went so well last year, we decided to do another theme for 2018.
Yes.
And it's just amazing because Emily and I had the same thoughts individually. And then we kicked it by our team, the other three women on the Risen Motherhood team, and they all felt mm-hmm. like this would be a great piece for next year as well. The theme is unity in the gospel, and we all had unity on the unity theme. But we want to tell you guys a little bit about the backstory and how we got there and why we've chosen this.
Yeah, so when we first started Risen Motherhood, I mean, I think all Laura and I were really thinking about is like literally how do we physically get it recorded? What do we say? What kind of issues are we walking through in our own personal lives? How are we applying the gospel to that? And that's how Risen Motherhood was born. And so that's taken us, you know, almost 2 years to yeah. just kind of process through that. It's grown. It's done all these things. But we had this moment last summer when we were on break and we were sharing this picture of all these interviewees. And somebody just pointed out to us how homogenous that group of women, one man, but women were. And Laura and I was kind of just like the blinders were lifted off. And we were like, oh, you're right. It is. And now that we've kind of stabilized a little bit, we want to represent more perspectives mm-hmm. and to think through things beyond just what Laura and I are dealing with, which, you know, never came from a bad intention, but just we also want to look out and see right. that there's a lot of different types of moms out there.
Yeah, we recognize that not all of you are work-from-home moms or working moms or stay-at-home moms. Not all of you live in middle-class suburbia. Some of you live in other countries. Some of you live in small apartments in the city. Some of you live on rural farms. And so you guys are incredibly diverse and different. Mm-hmm. And you are all dealing with individual issues and mm-hmm. your daily life looks really, really different. And so Emily and I can only speak from our experiences. One commitment we've always made is to say we don't want to speak into topics that we haven't experienced. And so our goal, we're still not an interview show. Interviews are still only about 20%, mm-hmm. but one piece of bringing in the blog to have more voices as mm-hmm. well as with the interviews that we will engage in, our whole goal is to just be more intentional about mm-hmm. what God's kingdom looks like, yeah. what it will be like for eternity, what that picture of the true church is. Mm-hmm. We want Risen Motherhood to represent that well.
Yeah, and kind of getting into it more, and we will talk a lot more about this when we kick off in January, but just living in that already but not yeah. yet, like Laura was saying, someday, because we are all in Christ, if you do believe in the gospel and confess Christ as your Lord, we will be in heaven together worshiping the same God. And there's going to be moms in that group that speak different languages. There's going to be moms who did public school, moms that did homeschool. There's going to be moms that, you know, fed their kids organic food, moms that didn't. There's going to be moms from every race and every tongue and every tribe and every nation and every choice. And so we want to live in that right now as much as we can, knowing that we are in a broken world. And we know that the gospel can give hope to every single mom, no matter what her situation is. God meets us where we are. And through his word, he transforms us and helps us to live more in his likeness and more in accordance with his will. And so we want to do that more as we can this coming year and have that become a picture for Risen Motherhood.
And one just quick caveat to make sure that we do say is that by unity, we don't mean, you know, believe whatever you want. We're talking about Orthodox Christianity. There are true things, things that we never deviate from. But with this unity, we want to be united around those truths and that those truths will stand long after us. And so, anyway, feel like that's just an important little note to add in there. So I think that's it, though, for today's show, right, Em?
Yes. Yeah, so we will be back on January 10th. We will go more into this great unity concept. We have an amazing lineup of shows for you guys all through the spring about school.
And yeah, a whole month on school. A whole month.
Education. And just all kind. I mean, sleep training is on our list.
Yep.
We've got moms from all different areas on our list, like maybe urban, suburban. So we're just going to dive into all kinds of different things next year.
It's going to be great. So if you want some more info that we talked about on today's show, head to our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. Of course, come find us on social media. We will still be active there through this Christmas break. We are at Risen Motherhood on all the platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So have a great Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.